Welcome to Business Ninjas, brought to you by Right For Me, where you'll hear from business leaders who are out there growing their business and slaying it every day. Learn from the masters. Let's get started.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of Business Ninjas. I'm here today with Jason Lavender. He's the co-founder and CEO at Electives. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kelsey.
Yeah, excited to have you. So, Jason, why don't you start and tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So based in Boston, I started my career actually as an actuary at a HR consulting firm. So I was a math major undergrad, and like any career, it evolved and pivoted multiple times, but spent 12 years at that company and ended leading the health innovation team for the North American business. So I got kind of this dream role. It was working with digital health entrepreneurs and then bringing the new technology they were building into Fortune 500 HR teams. And so got to see just a ton of innovation, especially, you know, back in 2016, 17 in the healthcare space. And after I left that firm, I went to an amazing AI health tech company in Boston called Buoy Health. If you've ever Googled your symptoms and been completely confused on what to do, we were trying to solve that problem. So we were kind of building the front door of healthcare, and was there for almost 2.5 years. And while I was at Buoy, I was also in business school at MIT. That's where I met my co-founder for Electives. And we just bonded over this kind of shared love of learning while we were in school, and also a shared kind of distaste about corporate training. And we wanted to kind of combine both of those passions and try to start solving that pain point together.
That's fascinating. So that brings you to Electives. So talk to me a little bit more about Electives.
Yeah. So Electives, I'll give you a little bit more on the kind of founder story. So towards the end of business school, we had two different guest lecturers come in kind of randomly. So one gave this amazing history lesson on the Stonewall Inn riots and how Stonewall sparked the Pride movement. And it was just an amazing 60-minute learning experience about, sadly, history that, you know, often gets kind of left out. And not only was the learning good, but the connection amongst peers after that dialogue was just really rich and really powerful. And then just a few hours later, we had a mountaineer come in, and he had led like 6 expeditions up Mount Everest. And he was teaching decision-making and teamwork, particularly under high-pressure situations. And that was fantastic. So there was this moment just within one morning of these two fantastic learning experiences. And literally 2 days earlier, I had one of the worst corporate training sessions that I could imagine. It was the total, like, watch a bunch of videos, check a lot of boxes, take some quizzes, you know, the fast forward button is disabled. Like, it was just mind numbing types of stuff. Yeah. And so within that 48-hour period, it was like, how do we bring those types of amazing learning experiences into the corporate world? Mm-hmm. And for us, it really just came down to making live virtual learning easier, because it felt like the world had just shifted so much into that asynchronous kind of content library world. Yeah. And then number two, how do we change the definition of who a corporate trainer is? When we started Electives, there was very much this perception of, if I need sales training, I need to find a sales trainer. If I need DEI training, I need to find a DEI trainer. And when we thought back to the historian or the mountaineer, we were like, there's so many people in the world we could be learning from. Let's find those people and just make them more accessible. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you're credible, you're an expert, you're engaging, and you can impact learning outcomes, you can teach on our platform.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So talk to me a little bit more.
Yeah. So fast forward. So that was fall of 2020. And really the early days for us, we were just kind of testing this concept. Do people like learning from folks who aren't corporate trainers? And we learned early days, we discovered a metric that was kind of sad, that the average net promoter score for corporate training historically has been -8. So, you know, if you think of all the industries that are notoriously known for poor NPS, this was actually in the negatives relative to those. And so the first year we were just running a lot of classes, getting feedback, and our NPS was in the positive 70s. So first off, we were like, okay, this is working. Learners are liking it. Employees are liking it. And then we stumbled into a kind of a bigger platform opportunity with the companies we work with, where we discovered there was, you know, if you think of effort for like HR and chief learning officers and then learning impact, there was a feeling when you talk to our customers that sometimes the more effort you put in, you don't necessarily get the same impact back. Mm-hmm. And so we really started kind of framing, instead of just single classes here and there that employees would love, how do you really partner with what we now call an enterprise live learning platform that really takes all of the work and logistics and curation and vetting of all of these great instructors off of the hands of the HR or the people leader? And we just try to make their lives simpler while still driving that impact that we all want to achieve.
Wow, that's fascinating. So walk me through kind of how a company, you know, starts to work with electives before, you know, they even start to explore the platform.
Yeah, so typically a lot of the partners that we work with, we always describe them as, particularly in the early stage, they're the innovators. So they, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago, they basically said pre-recorded training isn't working. We're going to terminate that. Mm-hmm. And then they said, we're going to start creating a live kind of corporate training solution, you know, in-house or with external partners. Mm-hmm. And what typically happens is they discover that it's really, really challenging to do that vetting and curation on your own. It's its own full-time job. And we have an entire learning experience team who's doing that as their full-time jobs. And so where we typically come in from a partnership perspective is it really is those companies who have said, we're trying so hard to find great live instructors. We're really struggling. And administratively having, you know, contracts with like 100+ people is not enjoyable either. And so those are kind of the perfect partners where they say, we found about electives. We've heard you do all the curation, vetting, administration for us, and your instructors are really cool from a background perspective. Let's partner together and you can be kind of the one platform for us.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, kind of exploring the platform, talk to me a little bit about the different classes that are available on there.
Yeah, so all of our classes focus on kind of at the highest level, what we call either human skills, soft skills, or power skills, all kind of synonymous, but we're not doing like deep technical training, coding types of boot camps. It's really at that human power skills level. Within the power skills, there's about 6 or 7 kind of most popular categories. So leadership training is a big one. New manager training, folks who have just been promoted from IC to manager, well-being classes, DEIB classes, presentation and communication classes, and then broadly innovation. So design thinking or question storming types of classes. So those are the big buckets. But then I think where we differentiate is the way we think about content within each of those buckets is unique. So within DEI, as an example, we do have the core implicit bias, microaggressions type of content. But there's also just this rich volume of content around Native American history classes. And, you know, we have an employee who identifies as a CODA. Both of his parents are in the deaf community, and he teaches an accessible design class. So all of the classes are just things that you might not typically get access to, but employees love it. So we continue to build out the curriculum.
That's fantastic. And do you find companies, you know, do they, I don't want to use the word require, but do they push for certain classes to be taken and then kind of open it up for you to explore others? Like, walk me through that.
Yeah, so there's 3 different types of kind of learning solutions within the platform. So the first one is what we call electives membership. So membership is if an employee is a member of the platform, they can pick and choose any live class in any given month, and they can actually learn with folks from all different companies. So that's very much employees in the driver's seat. They're picking what they want. The second solution is what we call learning tracks. So learning tracks is just a much deeper dive in a particular content area. So if you're a new manager and you're taking like a giving feedback track, you're taking, you know, 4 to 6 classes on giving feedback, and you're spending 2 to 3 weeks in a cohort together, really learning that skill. And then learning solution 3 is what we call private classes. And that's where the employer, the head of HR, the head of DEI is saying, this is a really important topic to us as a company or as a team. We want everyone to come together and, you know, 50 or 100 employees from that company learn together. So it's a bit of a mix to your point. There's times where it's the employer driving it, and there's times where the employee is driving it.
And all of these classes are live learning, correct?
Correct. Yes. Everything is synchronous.
So walk me through, you know, the benefits of why why live learning is better than pre-recorded learning.
Yeah, we always had that hypothesis, and I'll share how it's evolved. So when we first started the company, Krikor, my co-founder and I, we were kind of laughing. We were like, learning, you know, for thousands of years has been synchronous. You know, like we've all learned from storytelling. That's just how humans have evolved. And in fact, our like vision statement at the company level is humans learning from humans for a better world. And we always used to kind of joke, like, imagine entering third grade and there was no teacher. You just like get an iPad, you just watch videos. You know, that's the only way you can learn. So we've always been really passionate about humans learning from humans. As we've just rolled out the live classes, you can start to see that feedback in real time. So one, we've collected a bunch of survey data over the year and thousands of people. I think it's like 96% prefer live over pre-recorded. So just from a quant perspective, we've confirmed it. But even just an observation of human behavior, there's the subtle things like, you know, learners can actually ask the instructors questions. So you get that feedback loop. You can be in breakout rooms with your peers. I think there's a lot of learning just by seeing what your peers are doing. Like if they're asking questions, people are like, oh, I'm not the only one who's, you know, struggling with presentations. Like that alone feels good. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last thing that we've found to be so valuable is kind of the emotional feedback loop. So the instructor says something, employees say something, and you know, the laughter, the tears, like the emotions that happen in a live setting are the things that people really never forget. And that's where the learning outcomes come through. We'll follow up after the live class with async content to just help reinforce the lessons. But we do believe that live setting is just really critical to make sure that people feel connected and that the learning is truly hitting home.
Yeah. Do you think it's those interpersonal relationships and kind of how they're forged through learning that is another one of the reasons why it's important for people to learn, like with different people in different formats, kind of in that way?
Yeah, I totally think so. I think just to give you two different examples, like we had, we have a few different parenting classes that are kind of fun electives, and working parents love taking them. But I would say, yes, the content from the instructor is fantastic, but there's moments when the chat just starts blowing up where somebody asks a question and somebody's like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. It's like, and everybody's like, yes, we totally feel it. And like, that is so reassuring to the person, even from just, you know, kind of a fun well-being class. Yeah. Same thing happens with, you know, giving feedback class. There's a lot of managers who think like, am I the only one who's not delivering good feedback? And being able to get that perspective and practice things in real time and, you know, receive feedback in the moment, it does really go a long way.
Yeah. So to the point of learning, what has been, you know, your favorite thing that you've learned since you started electives?
Oh, there's so many. I think the classes for me that I enjoy the most are from the instructors who are just totally different from my background, which there's so many folks who fit into that that bucket. But the two that come to mind are, or maybe three. So we have an astronaut who teaches a class. We have a poet who teaches a presentation class. And then we have a former FBI agent who used to recruit spies who teaches a class. And like the lessons and content across those three different folks are just so powerful, so memorable. And yeah, it's just, you know, I could take like 10 different leadership classes from 10 people who have 10 different backgrounds, and I'm learning, you know, 10 different perspectives on leadership. So I would much rather take those classes than, you know, learn leadership from somebody who has a pretty similar background to me.
That's fascinating. So, you know, it sounds like since you and your co-founder have been able to start electives, the company has really grown and scaled. You know, what has that growth looked like for you?
Yeah. So, it wasn't too long ago when, you know, you first start the company, and it's a two-sided marketplace in the early days. So you have zero customers, zero instructors. And so the very first customers that came through were very helpful and influential and supportive in terms of who are the right types of instructors to recruit. So in the early days, we were doing a lot of like cross our fingers, hope these folks are great instructors. as we've grown, we've been able to build a lot more systems and processes to really make sure the curation and vetting is at a really high quality. So now we're almost 200 instructors on the platform. We have over 100 customers. Thousands of learners are taking classes every, you know, week. And I would say the biggest thing for us is we really want to grow in terms of the different types of learning. So when we first started, we truly were just private classes. And then you just kind of observe different behavior and listen to your customers and hear the pain points. And the bigger growth opportunity for us was just diversifying the types of learning. So offering the memberships, offering the tracks, and just building out a broader, you know, SaaS platform that can support the heads of people and the heads of DEI in terms of their everyday.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about, you know, these customers that you have, are there trends in certain industries that you seem to be working with? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I wish I could say there was. The biggest trend, honestly, is companies who are very people-centric. Mm-hmm. So they invest in learning, they invest in talent, they invest in employee experience, they invest in DEI. There are signals that we can kind of see that says like that company is very people centric. Mm-hmm. Those are the biggest themes for us. But honestly, we work with insurance companies, health systems, gaming companies, a lot of tech companies in you know, on both coasts. Yeah. But industry wise, pretty agnostic. It just tends to be kind of what's the, you know, HR view of talent and how do they develop their talent?
Yeah, no, I think that's fascinating, being able to adjust kind of the growth that you're talking about over the years. And it sounds like, you know, adjusting to kind of starting, you know, with you and your co-founder, hearing the feedback, being able to grow and scale is really, you know, being on the ground. It sounds like you take the classes yourself is really what differentiates, you know, electives from its competition. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. From a differentiation perspective, I think when we first started, we really looked at it and said, we're going to offer live learning, and there's a lot of pre-recorded providers. And over time, we realized there are other live learning platforms as well. And so as we developed the platform, the curriculum, we recruited instructors, we really tried to focus on three different pieces from a kind of a special sauce perspective. And they were quantity, quality, and diversity of content. And so usually quality and quantity are kind of butting heads. But we really wanted to say, like, we have a really high bar in terms of who can join the platform, but we have 200 of those folks who do really, really well. And then the range of their background, the range of their expertise ends up being really a big differentiator. So one of our early adopter clients 2 years ago was saying they literally, you know, they would find one great DEI instructor, and then they would have to go find another good sales, you know, trainer, and then have to go find another manager trainer. And some of those weren't great, some of them were, and it was just totally fragmented. And so solving that pain point of depth and breadth at a really high quality and a wide range of content and lived experiences, it really resonates for folks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's a great point to really capitalize on, because like you said, it is a pain point for a lot of companies pulling in a million different ways. So would you say that's one of the biggest misconceptions, is that people just kind of have to settle and just accept like, all right, I'm going to have to go find a million different companies? Like, do you think that's one of the biggest misconceptions that you hear?
Yeah, I think probably the two biggest misconceptions is I think there's a feeling sometimes of like the company's okay with average training. And I would say no one's really okay with it. I think the feedback we hear is HR, L&D folks are, you know, finally getting a seat at the table in the last 2 years, which is phenomenal. But because of that, they're being pulled in a million different directions as well. And so they're trying to figure out as much as they can do to impact so many different parts of the employee experience. Mm-hmm. And so learning is one of those. And if they can find a solution that can have the impact with as little effort as possible internally, because they're stretched so thin, that's fantastic. I think the second misconception that we ran into when we first started fundraising for the company for our seed round, a lot of investors would say, oh, corporate training, that's the first thing to go in a down economy, which is true. However, as we dug into it, we were like, well, if the corporate training solution has an engagement rate of like 1%, you should probably terminate that even in a bull economy. And so we basically said, like, yes, there is, that is true, but I think the better way to solve the problem is make corporate training something people love, and in hard times, invest more in it, because that's the differentiator for your company. But you know, if it's not being engaged with, you should totally terminate that, you know, whenever, however the economy is treating you.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. And I can certainly see kind of just being, I don't know if passive is the right word, but just kind of like settling for mediocre. Like, you wouldn't accept that out of any of your leaders. Why would you accept that out of a training that's training your leaders?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And when you think back to the, I joked earlier about that NPS of -8, but when you unpack, like, I always forget the net promoter question is actually like, would you refer, you know, this to a friend or colleague? And I forget the breakoff, but there's like demoters and promoters and then neutral. And so when it's -8, people are literally like going out of their way to tell you don't go to that training, which is like, you know, the set that you want people to learn and develop. That's the number one thing employees are asking for. And more people are actually saying like, don't go to it, which is not a good thing.
Well, Jason, where can people go to learn more about electives and all of the different course offerings that electives has?
Yeah, so our website is electives.io. All of the classes are on the website, and my email is jason@electives.io if folks have any questions.
Fantastic. Well, Jason, as we start to wrap up this conversation, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with, either about electives, about, you know, continuing education, about the industry, anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I would say, I'll close with just kind of a story in terms of even why we named the company Elective. So when Krikor and I were at school, we have this distinct memory of in early December, the school said, we are going to communicate what the electives classes are for January on Thursday morning. And we were kind of all talking on Slack leading up to Thursday morning. And then once Thursday morning hit and the electives list came out to take the classes in January, there was such a buzz. It was like, what classes are you going to take? I can't believe this teacher's teaching that class. And like, you can only sign up for two. Everyone wanted to sign up for 7 or 8. And there was just a thrill. Like, there was a joy of excitement around learning. And the same thing happened when I was an undergrad. Like, I remember rushing to try to pick the classes that I wanted to take. And I think everyone has that curiosity and that joy of learning. And you forget about it if you don't get presented that opportunity. And so our, you know, one of our big things that we want to try to do is only offer classes that people are going to get excited about, people are going to love. And I would just encourage folks, if, you know, whether or not we partner with your company, like, find those things that give you joy. You know, we have heard the term recently, intellectual well-being. And I think it's a real thing. You know, lifelong learners find things that you can learn, and, you know, you get through the burnouts and the hybrid work and all the other things that can be challenging if you're learning something new. So always encourage it.
That's fantastic. That's a great little bit to leave our listeners with. Well, Jason, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate you breaking down electives, kind of how you and your co-founder got started, the history behind the name. I think that's fantastic. You lit a little joy inside of me. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I remember like picking my electives, like how exciting that was, like how interesting they were. And, you know, just certainly scrolling through your website, seeing all of the different, you know, classes that you offer, the live learning, I think it's absolutely fantastic. So I appreciate you being on Business Ninjas today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Kelsey. It was great to chat with you.
Yeah, great to have you.
Hey, are you a business ninja? Want to be interviewed like this? Give us a shout. Go to www.writeforme.io, WRITEFORME.io, and schedule a time to meet with us, and we'll make it happen. Keep slaying it, y'all.